Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. A dreary John Schmelk, a somewhat less dreary Paul Dottino, off of a 5 a.m. train trip down from New England last night. 201-939-4513. We're going to need your help today, folks, to get on the phones. We're talking 53-man roster, and we'll react a little bit from the Patriots game right here on Giants.com. We'll call up, talk about the game, and we'll also, of course, get your 53-man rosters. Not talking about the whole 53. I'm not sitting down for 53 players from each caller. But if you want to give us some back-end guys that you think are going to get on, that's fine. And I guess, Paul, before we get to the 53, let's give each of us, we'll give our kind of quick thumbnail of the game last night. I thought both backup quarterbacks equated themselves rather well. The offense, I thought, moved up and down the field as good as, you know, you'll ever see. In a fourth preseason game, was the best and most exciting and well-played fourth preseason game I've ever seen. You like to see a little bit more out of the backup defense, but I think that's kind of been a theme for the whole preseason. They've allowed teams to go up and down the field probably a little bit too easy on them than you would like to see. Aljik Rosas did everything you could ever want from him in order to win his job, and those to me were the big takeaways from that game against the Patriots.
Oh, you forgot the biggest thing. No injuries.
Oh, of course.
Let's never, ever, ever forget that. No injuries. But, you know, I'm going to go further. I'm going to say that may have been the most entertaining preseason game, period, that I've ever seen.
It's right up there.
I mean, 40-38, two field goals in the final 2 minutes, one by each team to flip-flop the lead. And here's the thing, folks. Think about this. You know, I'm a defensive-minded guy. In the regular season, I just assume see a 17-13 game that's just like nip and tuck and grind it out and great defense on both sides. In preseason, especially when you're dealing with a whole bunch of players in the second half who may not even be in the league, never mind on your team, I don't wince so much when a guy gets beat for a 50-yard bomb. I just kind of say, wow, look at that play.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. I'm more along the lines of, in this situation, I don't mind watching the video game plays and the video game offense and the back-and-forth scoring. I would never say that in a regular season game. It's an entirely different viewpoint and perspective, and for that reason, John, I really think I'm willing to say it was the most exciting, fun preseason game I have ever seen, period.
And a game in which only one Giant starter on both units, offense and defense, actually played. So important note. All right, we'll talk about how some of those other guys did as we go through our 53-man rosters here. Paul, you ready to go? Do you have your numbers? Do you have your guys?
Yeah, I'm all set.
All right, well, we'll go position by position here. We'll start quarterback. I'll give my three. I'm curious to see if it's the same as your three. I have Eli, Geno, and Davis Webb.
I went to Geno off the last two games when he did not turn the ball over. To me, that's what swung it for me in his direction. Up until then, the risk of the turnover was a little too much for me to swallow, but then he went through two games without giving it up.
Okay, let's go to the running backs. We're in agreement on that. I have Paul Perkins, Orleans Darkwa, Wayne Gallman, and I got to tell you, Paul, I came really close to pulling an upset here and putting Sean Drone on this roster instead of Vereen, but I stuck with the veteran one with Shane Vereen.
We have the same four.
Okay. Because I thought Drone played very well in that game. And if the Giants don't keep him, he will be a backup running back on the NFL roster this year. No question about it. He's too solid of a player.
It's a shame they can't keep Moore, and I know what some people might say, well, you know, couldn't you try Gallman for the practice squad, but there's no way in the world he's going to clear.
No.
You know, he's a rookie,
yeah,
but he's not clearing, so you have to go with the four you mentioned.
And I'll tell you what, Drawn was an option for my 53rd man on to keep five running backs. It was an option, but he doesn't do enough on specials, that's why he didn't make it for me. Okay? Wide receivers, I got six. Do you also have six?
Mm-hmm.
Beckham? I'm sure you have him on your roster.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep him.
Marshall.
Yeah.
Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Rudolph and King.
So do I.
Okay. Guys, folks, we did not go through this before the show, by the way. So we're kind of figuring out where we are. So we're up to 13 now. My thinking here was that since you're keeping Rudolph, you can keep a banged-up Tavares King. And if you have to inactive him the first game, you can. It's not that big of a deal. Travis Rudolph got up on specials. I thought he played well in that game. You mentioned it many times from the sideline. He blocked well in that game. He caught every pass that got thrown to him that was catchable. I thought he did a good job. So that's why I put King over Roger Lewis. And I didn't think Roger Lewis, over the course in terms of a body of work in the preseason, did enough to beat out even an injured Tavares King. I do think Roger Lewis will be a guy they try to get onto the practice squad. We'll see if it works.
I totally agree. I think his inconsistencies during the course of the camp this summer. Last summer, he was outstanding in training camp. This summer, he was inconsistent, showed some of those inconsistencies even last year during the regular season when he was in there.
Yeah, some drops.
And that to me, is going to cost him a spot on the 53. And I wouldn't have said that, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But as the preseason continued, you know, even though he had that nice game against the Jets, I'm going to say that Roger Lewis may be even able to sneak through on the practice squad, John. I think
he's a shot.
I think he could. And if he does get through, I think he comes back.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think if he's on the practice squad, I think at some point this year he will be in uniform on game day for the Giants. Absolutely. And I think he's a good player. And it's another one of those guys where if you do let him go, there's a chance another team might grab him. So it's another guy where you're in a situation where you're dropping a guy that could be an NFL player.
There's no doubt about it.
Tight end, fullback combined. My first four are Ingram, Ellison, Shane Smith, and Matt LaCosse.
That's who I have.
And my last guy in the roster was a fifth. I have Drell Adams on.
I don't have him.
Okay. So that's our first difference.
Mm-hmm.
Adams was my last guy on the 53.
I am considering Jarrell Adams for practice squad.
Okay. Offensive line, obviously the five starters, Flower, Hart, Pugh, Richburg, Jerry. And then my three backups, I have Fluker, Jones, and Biznavati.
I do, too.
I would not be surprised, though, if they kept Wheeler instead of Biz.
See, those two guys are such bubble guys for me because they are both heavy developmental players.
But I think you need a guy that's more of a traditional tackle as a backup.
I agree, and the problem is you simply don't have enough tackles if you don't keep one of them.
Well, let me put it this way. If the right veteran tackle becomes available, that could be a spot that swaps.
Well, see, that's where I have the difference with you on the tight end. Because I am keeping 9 offensive linemen, but the 9th offensive lineman's not here yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's a possibility, too. Again, this is my roster come Saturday. All right? I'm not saying what it's going to be on. But I think that's fair. If the right player becomes available, like I said, Adams was my last guy on.
Right.
He could be the guy that gets the boot.
Okay.
In theory. Theoretically. Okay? All right, let's go to defense. So far, we're only one player off. Okay?
One player different.
Let's go to defense. Obviously, defensive line. I got Vernon, JPP, Snacks, Okwara. I have Kerry Wynn on.
Yep.
Avery Moss on.
Yep.
Obviously, Dalvin Tomlinson on.
Yep.
Bromley on.
Yep.
And I kept Robert Thomas.
Same 9 I have.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. I thought we might have a difference there.
Nope.
Okay, so let me see. That's 27.
Devin Taylor did not do enough for me, and Moss being the rookie who did show flashes, plus being a draft pick, I'm keeping Moss over Devin Taylor.
And Taylor was one of the four guys that had in the mix for that final roster spot, too. But again, I don't know how good of a special teams guy he is. So that he was one of my last guys in consideration. Linebackers, I have 6.
So do I.
I have Jonathan Casillas. I have Devon Kennard. I have Keenan Robinson. I have B.J. Goodson, I have J.T. Thomas, and I have Calvin Munson.
I never would have put J.T. Thomas on there, but then his ability to get on the field the last 2 weeks and make some plays allows him to grab a spot that I would have originally given to somebody else over the weekend. But now I'm going to give it to J.T. Thomas.
You have Calvin Munson on also? You have the same,
yes, I do.
Same 6?
Same 6.
Wow. Okay. And I will say this, linebacker was the toughest spot for me. Because you're dealing with injuries here. And injuries are something Paul and I really don't have a good feel for, how hurt these guys are. Like, how long is Keenan Robinson? How long is Mark Herzlich? How long is JT Thomas even to a certain extent? How much can these guys play? And I think the big reason, and I think there's a really good chance Herzlich is on this roster. He was one of the final guys. I had 4 guys for that last roster spot I was debating between. He was one of them.
See, he's got a stinger, John, and that in a lot of ways. It's not the same as a concussion because the concussion is an NFL protocol.
Right.
Stinger is not.
Mm-hmm.
However,
It's the same in that it is totally indefinite, undetermined.
Well, it could be quick. It could be really long. It all depends on the severity of the injury. And I think given the other questions there with JT Thomas in the ACL, with Keenan Robinson in the concussion, can you risk carrying three of your six linebackers or even three of your seven linebackers all being injury risks? I think that gets a little bit tricky. But I think this is a spot where if I was to pick a position where I'm going to be wrong, I think it would be linebacker.
Okay.
Okay? Cornerbacks, I only have five, believe it or not. I have Janoris Jenkins, DRC, Apple, Hunter, Dion.
Those are the five I have.
And I believe they will have a sixth by the time Tuesday rolls around.
And that's what my list says. Five corners plus a mystery man is going to be number six.
And I believe that might be at the sacrifice of one of the four safeties that I have on the roster, which is Landon Collins, Darian Thompson, Andrew Adams, and I believe Nat Burhe will survive another year.
See, I only have three.
Well, that's because you have your cornerback. You have your
Correct.
Mystery corner. And I think one of those guys could be sacrificed for the mystery
yeah,
corner.
Collins, Thompson, Adams for me.
Okay, well, let me put it this way.
Wing, Diassi, and Rosas, the three special.
Absolutely. Now, if the one question I'll ask you before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. If you had to fill those two spots now, which the Giants do, by the way, they have to fill those spots on Saturday before they go with mystery
Correct.
Players. Who would be your two guys at 52 and 53 that you would put on? This is where I had the most trouble on the train ride home trying to figure this out.
Well, they're placeholders for me.
That's fine.
They're not legitimately
who would you put on?
Candidates for the team. I'll put Wheeler on
okay.
as my ninth offensive lineman, and then maybe decide between Wheeler and Bisnovati which guy has to go practice squad when I pick up the mystery veteran.
Okay.
And I'm going to Burhe might be – I may go with the ninth defensive back. I'm going to qualify it as defensive back, not as safety or corner. I may take the ninth defensive back, Burhe, but then he could be swapped out for that sixth corner if I can get a corner over the weekend.
And, of course, folks, we will qualify this as saying we have no idea what the front office is thinking. Our guesses here do not reflect what's actually going to happen, and they have a much better idea of what's going to happen, who should be on this roster than we do. So just all of that FYI before
yes.
we get to your calls
and
at 201-939-4513.
And we re-emphasize, and I'm talking about with a capital E, we re-emphasize we have no medical information at all.
Correct. We're guessing.
Which often has to impact the 53.
Why do you think I said linebacker is the spot where I think we're going to have the most issues? Because mm-hmm. of the injury factor, which we're not educated on because we're obviously not in the medical room. So just things to take and keep in mind, folks, as we move ahead with the show at 201-939-4513. So let's get to your calls. Who do the guys you want on the roster on the back end? Who do you want off? Let's do it. 45 minutes. Me, Dottino, you. Nick Meadowlands. He leads us off. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Nick. What's up?
Hi.
That was a good game last night.
It was fun.
I liked it, yeah. But Nugent didn't get the kick at all, did he?
No.
So I guess that checks that off right there. He'll be going to another team tomorrow.
Yeah, Nick, to me, that was a situation where they knew what Nugent can do. He showed them as much as they wanted anybody to show him over the course of the preseason, and he was a great fallback option. Last
yeah.
night was saying to Aljic Rosas, this is your game. If you kick well, the job is yours. If you blow it, you blow it. And guess what? Rosas stepped up, and he was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, he was. Even if he would have missed one, I think he still would be on. But that's a good thing right there. I've never been so excited about a kicker and you know, our punter. We got two young guys that, you know, they look really good. I really can't say much more. I agree with you guys, really, with keeping everybody that you said. If you guys never saw Geno Smith, anybody, and you looked last night at him, you would think that he was a really great quarterback. Because he's looked good, except when he makes those decisions where last night he actually made a good decision on holding on to the ball and just
took
taking a sack.
The
hit. You know?
Absolutely. Nick, here's the thing. People forget Geno Smith was a first-round pick for a reason.
Yeah.
The guy has a lot of talent. His arm is an upper echelon arm in the league.
Yeah.
He just has to not make the stupid mistakes. And if he does it, he could be a low-end starter in this league at if he improves even more. Who knows? Remember this, too. It's not like he was surrounded by great offensive talent when the Jets, when he was the starter. Once they got Decker and Brandon Marshall, he was hurt for those years. He was never healthy with those two guys. So he never had the opportunity to play with the type of talent he has here with the Giants.
I think that's that you hit the nail on the head. And it seems like, you know, if the guy was already good, like Snacks or Marshall, a lot of guys that come from the Jets, they come to the Giants and they do a lot better, don't they? It's just a better organization and everything.
Well,
you know
that's a rather broad brush statement to make, but go ahead.
I'm not a Jets fan by any means.
I didn't suggest that you
were. You know, I don't root for them.
I just want to be fair. That's all.
I could care less. They remind me of the movie Major League this year, actually. You know the movie Major League?
Yes. Great flick.
She just wanted them to just tank it. And that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
You know, they're just setting them up for disaster. But anyway, I was happy seeing him last night make the moves he made. You know what I mean? He looked good, you know. And everybody else did, too. Rudolph looked really good. I like that kid. He looks really nice. And
yeah.
On defense, I like the guy Munson. You know, he'd be nice to definitely pick up. And I like seeing JT Thomas out there, really, you know.
And you know, here's
I was actually
thing about
really
too, Nick,
paying attention to him last night.
And JT Thomas is a really good guy. I'm very happy for him. He was very patient, which is hard to do in that situation. And he waited till his knee was right to get back on the field. And it looks like it's paid off.
And to get off the subject with, it looks like, I don't know the facts, but it looks like I don't really care either. We're going to be facing number 21 on week one. Looks like, you know, I mean, with the whole thing with Josh Brown and everything, you know, at least Josh Brown was a man about it and he admitted what he did, you know?
Well, look, here's the bottom line, and I'm going to say the same thing. Nick, thanks a lot for the call. I'm going to say the same thing I said about the Josh Brown thing. I do not know the facts of the case. I do have not read the entire thing. I don't know what's true and what's not. I'm not an investigator. You have to trust that the people that look at all the information and have it make the right decision. And with whatever the NFL decides on the appeal, they'll decide on the appeal. But from all the reports that I've seen, it seems that Ezekiel Elliott will probably take this beyond the NFL appeal process if the suspension isn't really, really, really reduced. So my guess is that he'll try to get an injunction filed. Whether or not the injunction is approved or not, who knows? We don't. Henderson also has to make his appeal decision by Tuesday at 4. Otherwise, the suspension doesn't kick in for week one against Dallas, against the Giants, rather. So these are all things that are kind of in flux here, Paul, as we see what happens with Ezekiel Elliott. But we'll know one way or the other by Tuesday at 4 o'clock, likely, whether or not he's going to be on the field against the Giants on Sunday night.
Yeah. And I would only say this, and I'm not trying to make any judgments about anybody or any decisions that have been made. The distraction of this entire story, regardless.
Oh, can't help.
Is not good.
Absolutely not.
It's not good for the Cowboys. It's not good for the league. It's just not a good situation, regardless of whether or not he is able to suit up for that first game.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Say what's up to Dan in Delaware. Dan, what's going on? Hello, Dan. What's going on, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can, Dan. How are you?
All right. Yeah, I just had a quick comment. I know you guys are going to disagree with it because I know other people brought it up before. And then just two quick questions about how the free agents and stuff work.
Sure.
I just think that, you know, we got tough roster decisions this year, which is a good problem to have from previous years. And
I agree.
Just think that we might as well just keep Webb as the backup because, in my opinion, and I don't even want to speak it into existence, but if something were to happen to Eli, I don't see really the benefit of having those guys on the roster now. I feel like we could get one of the two of them, if not both of them, or someone equivalent to them off the street for a week or two or a couple weeks if we need them. The only thing I could see the benefit of having them would be, you know, if we're in the middle of a game, like it's third quarter, we have a lead, Eli comes out, and we need one of them to come in to not screw it up.
Well, Dan, I'll say a couple things to that. One, the problem with picking up a quarterback off the street is that he doesn't know the offense. It's not like picking up a defensive end off
the
street.
But you don't think one of the two of them would be available.
Geno Smith would get picked.
Both of them would get picked up.
I guarantee you Geno Smith would. Geno Smith would be picked up immediately by an NFL team if he is let go. Josh Johnson, I'm not quite as sure about. But I will also say this. In my heart of hearts, let's say in theory Eli Manning is out for six games from week two to week eight. Just throw it as an example. I think in those six games, you have a better chance. You have a maybe not much better, but you have a significantly better chance of going 4-2 with Geno Smith than you would have of going 4-2 with Davis Webb. And that just happens to be my opinion.
I agree with you to that extent. I was just saying that I would imagine that somebody – would be available of equal skill to Geno Smith, but you could be right. But that's a side point. And then I had a quick question about – so when these guys get cut between today and tomorrow, how does it work with who gets to be on waivers and then who just is straight free agent? Does it have to do with how long – like they got to be in the league for a certain amount of time or
– Yes.
Okay. So how is it determined
if you have
who's
four
waivers and who is actually can just decide where they want to go?
Four vested years. If you're younger than that, you have to go on waivers because they want to give these young players a chance to be claimed by teams in the reverse order of standings while they still have upside to their career.
Okay.
The veterans who are 4 years beyond, they are cut or released, if you will.
And that's why Joe Hayden, by the way, didn't go through waivers, and he was just a straight-up free agent.
Yes. And so because the Players Association was able to fight for that in the CBA, that an older player, when he is gotten rid of, they want the ability to have that older player have some choice and decisions into where he's going to go.
That seems fair. All right. And then the final thing I just had to ask, I mean, you kind of touched on it earlier with the linebackers, and I think you mentioned a right tackle, possibly, you had Adams as your, like, kind of last bubble guy. If we had to get a free agent or something, he could be a guy we might lose. But I was just wondering the positions that you think would be what we're going to really be focusing on, because the only thing I could really compare this to, since it's the first year, is kind of like at the end of the NFL draft when all the undrafted guys are out there and it's just like a mad scramble dash for the top guys. So
right.
I'm just curious as to like what positions, I guess linebacker, maybe a cornerback and an offensive line. I mean, are those going to be our primary focus positions, you think?
To me, Dan, it's cornerback. I think that's the number one you look at. I think we've seen throughout the preseason when you get to the second and third stringers, the secondary struggled. So to me, at least in my opinion, corner would be the number one position I'd look at.
Has to be.
Well, you also have offensive line on your list, right?
I have corner, offensive line, and linebacker would be the third of my choices if I was able to get somebody off of the shelf.
I keep hearing, and I know all, I'm sure the league guys, they're all made, it's like internal stuff, but you hear like these reports from like NFL Network and these that like so-and-so is being made available for trade, and things like that. So I was just curious, I mean, are we purely going to go the free agent route, or do you think there's any chance that, you know, fifth, sixth round pick for a guy or something like that, or do you think it's just we're going to see who gets cut and we'll go from there?
I'm sure the Giants will investigate it. I think there's also a chance maybe the Giants could trade one of the veterans on their roster for a conditional pick if a team wants somebody with some experience. So I think it could go both ways, to be honest with you.
You have to remember something. This is going to be unlike any other final weekend because of the massive cuts that are coming. So I hesitate to even predict how this climate is going to develop.
Yeah, because we've never seen this before.
Never.
Right.
I know.
Never. So is there going to be
more
of a trading frenzy for teams saying, look, I got a spare part. Can we make a deal before we cut the guy?
It seems like there has been more like trading going on in the final week or two than I can remember.
It does seem that way. I agree with you. And I don't have the numbers to prove that, but it does
feel
that way. It does. And so in the next 48 hours, actually it's 24 hours, well, a little more than that, actually, right, John? It's about 27 hours now.
Yes, 27 and a half, if you want to be specific about it.
my guess is as good as yours right now, and I don't know that anybody knows the answer to that. Now, I will say one thing. I asked Coach McAdoo this the other day on our MSG show. I asked him, with this new process in place, is he more likely to go to personnel and say, I have a want list? Or is the personnel department more likely to go to him and say, look, we can get this guy, this guy, this guy. Are you interested? And he said to me that obviously they're all going to look at everybody as an organization, but he's more inclined to go with the in-house guys that he has rather than go grabbing somebody else off the street. And that was his answer. Now, he did say it will be done on a case-by-case basis.
And keep this in mind, too. They've already added a bunch of corners from the street over the past 2 weeks, which is why I think that's one of the positions they might look outside again.
And
remember,
I think
though,
it's fair to say that hasn't worked out very well.
Ely, so, I mean, it's not like we're not looking. I mean, we put a claim in for Ely.
Right. But, again, he did say case-by-case basis.
Right.
So let's see what pops. But, again, you mentioned the whole trade route. Anybody's guess, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it'll be an interesting 48 hours, sir.
Thank you, Dan.
Right, well, thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call, And this is a good tweet that Lance had retweeted from Adam Schefter the other day.
What do you got?
By Saturday, 32 NFL teams will release roughly 37 players per team, 1,184 lost jobs, 320 backup to practice squads, but no more NFL football this year for 864 players in 1 day or 2 days.
It's going to be a rough weekend for a lot of guys.
And by the way, I missed this, by the way, while I was on the sleeping on the train last night. I guess Schefter tweeted in the middle of the night last night. This goes back to what I said about Ezekiel Elliott getting ready to take it to, like, the real courts to file an injunction.
Well, the Players Association already
they filed the, that's what I'm going to read. They filed a temporary restraining order in Texas calling for the courts to block any suspension from Harold Henderson. So,
I mean,
it's already in the process of happening, is my point.
They did it for him.
Yeah, I'm sure with his cooperation, obviously.
Yes, yes. He didn't have to go and sue on his own.
Correct.
Yes.
And, of course, Dan Graziano, if you haven't gone to ESPN, they have a good story on there about some of the ways that Zeke is trying to challenge the process that led to the suspension, which I thought was interesting. But, again, this is stuff that's way beyond Paul and I's pay grade, so we're not going to get into that sort of stuff here. Let's go to Diego in Connecticut. He's up next. Hi, Diego.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Diego, what's up?
Hello, can you hear? Good, good. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, great win yesterday. It was exciting to see the 40 points and, you know, looking on TV, seeing kind of Bill Belichick, you know, kind of scratching his pencil, not knowing what was going on as the Giants moved the ball. So that was kind of, you know, exciting to see my
no, he was scratching out names of guys he's going to cut. That's what he was doing.
I think so. Yeah, you never know with that guy what he's thinking. but in any case, I think I was going to, you know, the reason for my call was, and I think, Paul, you kind of mentioned it before, you know, throughout this process and with the tight end, always has been, you know, what, you know, who's the out guy or who are the out guys, which has always been, you know, the mention of Matt or Will Tye, and I think that, you know, my question was, what about Darrell Adams? You know, like, do you guys see more of an upside from him compared to Matt Lacoste, or is it something where, you know, Darrell Adams would be able to move to the practice squad to give Matt, who I think, you know, has shown a bit more of that ability to make plays, to actually make the 53-man roster?
I think both guys have a chance to make it to the practice squad, to be honest with you.
So you wouldn't – so you would – I guess my question is, would you keep – you know, would it make more sense to keep, you know, the two tight ends, Ellison and Ingram, and then probably have Lacoste and a possibility that Adams does actually stay as, you know, in the practice squad?
Well, right now I got both guys on my roster. So I took the easy decision and I kept both. If again, in my theoretical situation, that has nothing to do with what reality is going to be. But I think that is a calculation that goes into it. Obviously, the most important thing, Paul, is keeping the best player. And secondary to that, if all things are equal, you keep the guy that's less likely to pass through waivers.
I mean, I know Adams is eligible because you get 4 veteran exemptions on your practice squad.
Is it up to 4 now? I know it was 2. Is it up to 4 now?
It's up to 4. Okay. So you have 10 practice squad guys that you can sign. 4 of these guys can have up to 2 years of NFL experience. Jarrell Adams is a second-year player. He is eligible for the practice squad. Matt Lacoste, this is now his third season. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure if he is eligible for the practice squad or not.
Well, I think he would still be under the exempt rule, right? I mean, he hasn't played any NFL
games. No, because there's another – I'm going to call this up now. Sporting News did the whole ruling – the whole updated rules for practice squad.
Which they have changed over the last couple of years, which is why I don't – I used to have it memorized,
and,
to be honest with you.
It's impossible. They change every year almost, so it's impossible to memorize them. I don't even try. Here's the tricky part, all right?
Talk to me.
Your veterans can have no more than two accrued seasons, okay, on an NFL on an NFL roster. A player can't be given a practice squad for more than three seasons.
Okay. Well, Lacoste hasn't been a practice squad guy. He's been on IR, so.
Right. Okay, now. This is their salaries. No, there's not much more on this. This was the Sporting News.
See, I think he can still go on. That's my feeling. I can try to ask somebody around here. I don't know the answer for sure, but I'm sure somebody upstairs obviously does. But I think with the exemption, I think he can make it on. Anyway, you have anything else for us?
I don't think he gets through. I'll tell you that. Someone will take
it. Well, after that game against the Patriots, maybe not. He didn't do much in games before that game against New England. That game against New England might open some eyes.
Really good camp. Yep. Quiet three games. Broke out last night.
Correct. All right, Diego, what else you got? Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. I just have my last comment in regards to the secondary. I think you could what you guys have been saying in the show for the past few months regarding Dante Dean. You know, obviously if you put him on the outside, he doesn't match well with the bigger receivers. But I think overall he had a good game. You know, he was out of position in the first few drives or the first drive from the Patriots. But I think he's going to be a good addition. Last thing, I kind of want to make a bold prediction, and I don't know if you guys probably don't agree with it, but I really think that somewhere during the mid of the season, I feel like Travis Rudolph will be the third receiver on the depth chart behind OBJ and Brandon Marshall.
He's not, I got to stop you there. Unless Sterling Shepard is hurt, that's not happening.
I don't know. I just think with his quickness and explosion, he doesn't seem like a guy who's too fast, but I think he's a little bit bigger body and it may help a little bit going down the middle and winning some of those balls.
All right, here's where we're going to help you out just a bit. Okay, what you've seen is Travis Rudolph succeed during a short period of time against many fringe NFL secondaries. Okay? Understand, and this is the same problem we had when fans screamed at us, John. Why isn't Corey Washington playing every single week after he caught a touchdown in each of the five preseason games a few years ago? Well, the reason is very simple. Because he was terrific and earned a roster spot against subpar competition. But now when you're really playing with the big boys, once the 53 is in stone, it's a little bit of a different deal. So don't expect the same type of results immediately from a guy who is able to whittle his way onto the roster. And I'm not disrespecting Travis Rudolph because I had him right away as a dark horse guy. But do not bite off more than you can chew on this kid right away. That he may develop into a really good top flight, top four receiver in a year. But you're asking too much right away.
And by the way, there is no guarantees on the roster either. As the sixth wide receiver, he was one of the last guys on for me. So
that's true.
Just saying that too.
And plus, to be honest, you're disrespecting Sterling Shepard to think that he would lose his spot to an undrafted rookie free agent right out of the box.
By the way, Ben McAdoo loves Sterling Shepard. I think he said to us in a production meeting before the Jet game that he was literally one of the best players on the team during spring and summer.
Yes.
So, trust me, they really like Sterling Shepard. And I think he might actually be second on the team in catches after Beckham this year, not Marshall.
We'll
see about that.
Could happen.
Thanks, Diego.
All right. Good. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for getting up early for us on the West Coast.
I'm glad we're not on West Coast time right now.
Feels like we are. Did you sleep on the train at all or no?
I got about an hour nap.
I got about two and a half, I think, maybe three.
Yeah.
Luckily, the baby wasn't sleeping when I walked in the house at 5 o'clock in the
morning. Oh, baby.
She actually had just finished her overnight feeding, so I actually got a couple more hours in after I got home.
Okay, nice. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Sean in New York. He's up next. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Hey, really appreciate you guys taking my call.
Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the show, Sean. What's up?
Yeah, so I just want to talk about the offensive line play.
Please.
I've been week one, I was about ready to jump off a cliff. but as it's gone along, I've been kind of encouraged. It seems like they've been building off their progress week in and week out. But I want to comment specifically on the interior. I think, the Jets game, after they took John Jerry out, it's like all of a sudden the run game got better. And, you know, he's always been kind of more of a pass blocker than a run blocker.
Yes.
You know, but even then he got, knocked on his butt. So I just don't see how how DJ Fluker or Brett Jones doesn't start ahead of him, or even how John Jerry makes the roster. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
I will just say DJ Fluker played his best football of the entire training camp last night. He was really good. But to say that he's going to displace John Jerry week one, I don't know that I'm ready to say that yet. I think John Jerry was gassed, to be honest with you. Coach McAdoo said to us during the production meeting going into this game that he was heavy-legged, which says to me that maybe Jerry's conditioning was a little bit out of whack and he was a little bit tired and was getting a little sloppy because he was pushed with the three games in 11 days. So I think that Jerry starts against Dallas, but he is on a very short leash and he's getting pushed.
I agree with Paul on that. I will say a couple things. There are pluses and minuses to all three guys when you look at them.
This is true.
There's no like, oh, this guy's better at everything, make him the star.
Totally agree.
Out of the three, John Jerry is the best pass protector. I think he is, period.
When he's
correct. When he's playing his normal football. I think you worry about Brett Jones getting bull rush from time to time. I think him next to Weston Richburg, both guys are, not the biggest guys in the world. You worry about that a little bit. And DJ Fluker has never been a great pass protector. He doesn't have the feet for it, and you run into issues with that. Fluker, obviously, when he's doing the right thing and knows what the play is and all that stuff, he's going to push guys better than both Jones and John Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
So when Paul says he played really well, Paul sees him get his hands on guys and he moves them. That's what he does. He's 350 pounds. He's a truck. But then you have Brett Jones, who moves the best out of the three guys, probably is the best technique. So there's pluses and minuses with all three, and the Giants are going to have to pick their pleasure and pick their poison when they decide who they're going to give most of the snaps to. But I'm with Paul. Given the fact they gave Jerry that game off, my guess is they'll give him a chance against Dallas. But like Paul said, he'll be watched very, very closely.
Okay. Okay, and then one more comment, if I could, about Shane Smith. What do you guys think the chances that he makes the roster? I thought he's done great. I think the run game's improved with him in there. Just curious what you guys think on that.
But Paul and I both have him on our 53s. Ben McAdoo has said really good things about him. I think he's been good in the running game, and he plays on all the special teams packages. That's what people, I think, don't recognize as much. He's on punt block. He's on punt return. He's on kick return. He's on kick coverage. He does all of those things. So he's going to be a core special teamer as well as be a traditional lead-blocking fullback.
You guys remember when they brought him in as an undrafted rookie free agent, and because of his lack of touching the ball in college, I had said, I'm intrigued by him as maybe a practice squad fullback. And that's how I thought he could originally make the team. Then the thinking was, as we got into camp, well, you know what? They need special teams help. Let's see what he does on special teams. And that's where he started making a little bit of a mark. And he was pushing and pushing and pushing. And then, okay, the last two preseason games, John, he made some very good blocks. And for that reason, I now have him on the 53 because I think in the last two preseason games, he showed me that he truly has value as a fullback, and those 9 or 10 snaps that he might play in the backfield could actually be important.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it. I hope you're right about Shane Smith making the roster.
Oh, sure. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Much appreciated, my friend.
Because, a lot of us talked about this, John. Ellison's here, and he can play fullback. So what do you need to keep a fullback for in that spot?
And we haven't seen Ellison in that role much this offseason.
Not
but
as
I think
much, because they wanted to give Shane Smith a chance.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm sorry.
They want. No, it's okay. They wanted to see what he could do. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
He stepped up.
I think he. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I don't think we're going to see him on offense a lot. I mean, I think if you see him in 12 plays in a game, I think that's a lot. But what he'll give you in important situations in those in that spot duty could be essential in the red zone and short yardage and four-minute offense. And then, of course, the special teams contribution, as I mentioned before.
And you know what's interesting about this, John? And we had the concept early on after the draft that the tight end fullback position is going to be tied together. And I think a lot of us thought that the competition would be about guys who could make plays and guys who could block. But Coach McAdoo was very clear in our conversations with him that the special teams component was actually going to be more important than the other components if he lumped these guys together into a meatloaf. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this. Did you guys notice last night on the kickoff returns by the Giants, did you notice who the three-member wall was in front of the kickoff returners? Did you see?
I did not pick up the three guys.
Matt Lacoste was in the middle, flanked by Will Tye and Joel Adams.
And the other thing, too, we should
point out.
And it probably goes to that, too. And Ben McAdoo said that to us, and I know we mentioned on the radio broadcast. They call plays, especially in the fourth preseason game, but to a certain extent in all the preseason games, to get a feel for what guys can do, not to make the team win. So they'll call plays to force Will Tye to make that seal block on an off tackle run to see if he can do it. Mm-hmm. They'll call plays to see if Jarrell Adams runs a crisp in-cut route on a third down. And they call these plays and arrange their offense to see what certain guys can do at certain things to see who should be on the roster.
And that's why I want to point out something to you.
Sure.
When you see Matt Lacoste get targeted five times and have five catches, and Tye have four targets and four catches, and Rudolph have four targets and three catches, when you see that, there is certainly an indication that, hey, they were pumping the ball to these guys because they wanted to see, hey, can they make plays? That wasn't about, oh, you know, they're trying to move the ball downfield. That was, can that guy make a play? And Matt Lacoste made every play he was supposed to make last night.
Including one for a touchdown and a great pass to Geno Smith.
Two catches on the game-winning field goal drive.
One which he failed to get out of bounds, but he did give an honest effort to try
he
to
did.
Get out of bounds.
He did.
Play, which is all you can ask for.
And Jarrell Adams had a chip followed by the block by Lacoste on the Shane Drone touchdown.
You did it too. Sean Drone.
I did say that, didn't I?
You're copying Chris Carino from
Shane
last
Marine.
Night.
Shane Marine, Sean Drawn.
201-939-4513. Yeah, you're close enough. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. He's up next. Hi, Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, Len.
How are you,
buddy?
Good, good, good. Hey, good game last night. Nice win.
And always everyone's healthy.
Always good to win.
Yes,
always
sir.
Good to win. Get a little momentum going into the regular season. We won two in a row. That was the good part of last night.
Okay.
Look, point of clarification, you know, we got those 1,100 guys, you know, getting cut. I wasn't sure I understood what you said to Dan. Who's got first crack at them?
Well, on waivers?
I mean, doesn't it go in
reverse order for waivers.
Does it go in draft order?
It goes, it goes in the same order of the draft. So you go through the draft order, teams 1 through 32. That's how the waiver process will work. Correct?
Unless the guy's a veteran and then he's released and cut, now he's free.
Like DJ Hayden.
Now, see, that's the point I didn't understand. Just example, if there's a vested veteran who's part of this 1,100, and there will be, obviously.
Well, yeah.
He's on the open market?
Yes, correct.
Wow. You mean the Cleveland Browns don't get first crack automatically on a vested veteran?
For example, no. If the Giants decide to let go of Shane Vereen, he can go wherever he wants.
Correct.
Okay. That's the clarification I needed. If Jerry gets gassed in game one, who's the first guy off the bench to replace him?
That's a really good question.
I don't think it's Fluker.
I think it's Brett Jones, but I'm not 100% positive.
I think so, too. Yeah. And certainly if Pugh gets nicked, it's probably Jones, huh?
Yes, I believe Brett Jones is the backup swing center guard.
I disagree. I think Fluker is first guy at left guard. I think Brett Jones might be first guy at right guard.
We didn't see Fluker at left guard at all, though, during the spring or during camp in the preseason.
Not in the games, but we saw him in practice.
Not much.
More than Brett Jones. I think part of the problem there is that you want the older guy, Fluker, next to Flowers. He's got more experience, more games at guard than Brett Jones does. And I don't think you want the inexperienced player next to Flowers on the left side if you had to put a sub in.
Well, I think here's the thing, though. But here's the other thing, and I'll throw this out there, too, to Paul and you. Do you want two guys that have had issues in pass protection next to each other on Eli's blind side and Fluker and Eric Flowers?
How about you just don't have to make that deal and have Pugh stay in the game?
I'll sign up for that one. How about
there
that?
Paul, do you feel the same way about Jones on the right side? Is he the first guy off the bench to right guard, or is Fluker the first guy off the bench to the right guard?
I think it depends on what they need on that given Sunday. I think on that given Sunday, if they really think they got to get the run push and the matchup is okay, I think then Fluker's the guy. I think if it's a smaller defensive front and they're not so much concerned about that, then I think Jones is probably the guy.
See, Len, I think in my opinion, Len, real quick, I think Brett Jones is someone they trust to not make an ME and get their quarterback killed.
He has a better grasp of the playbook.
I think they worry about whether or not DJ Fluker is going to make that mistake that, you know, gets Eli smushed or costs a running play for negative yardage.
Yeah,
that's why I think Brett Jones is first.
I think that's probably right. I think this Jones guy, he's a pretty good guy. I think he's pretty good.
Here's what you got to remember. There are two dangers to putting Brett Jones in there. The first one is obviously he and Richburg are both undersized.
Yeah, right.
So now if you put them in against a matchup.
And that's absolutely true.
That's got a monster front.
Right.
You're asking
for
trouble.
Yep.
I mean, that's just point blank. Second problem. Richburg and Jones are your two most accomplished centers.
Well, they're only two centers.
If they're in the game at the same time and one of them gets dinged,
you're done with backup centers.
Yeah.
You have nobody else who can snap the ball.
It's a good point.
Paul, excellent point. I hadn't thought about it. You know, if you're playing a 3-4 defense, you know, the point about the two smaller guys really makes sense. If you're playing a 4-3 defense, maybe Jones can play the right guard spot.
Yeah. I talked to Len the other day, I talked to a caller.
That's a good point, Paul.
Len, a caller asked the other day about that, and I told him, I unless something changes and everybody plays some multiples and sub-packages and stuff, I got the Giants playing six primary 3-4 teams this year. All right?
Okay.
That's not a ton.
No,
okay?
That's not. No.
And half of them, only three of them, have a King Kong-sized nose tackle in their 3-4 front.
What do you got? The Chargers, the Chiefs.
And the Rams.
And the the Rams went to 3-4 this year.
All right?
That's right.
And Brockers is a monster. So
really good point, Paul, on the 3-4. And thanks for counting up those teams. I was about to do that myself,
right?
Thinking about
that's what you got. That's what you got to worry about.
We don't really play well against those 3-4 teams. We seem to have trouble with them. All right, can I go on to you got a couple? You got another minute? Let me go on to one other thing. Just a comment, and you guys know more than I do. I don't get the Shane Smith thing. I just don't. Unless you can tell me last night that last night's improved run game, that he played an integral part in that. He certainly played a lot of plays. Oh, my gosh, I don't think anybody played more than Shane Smith did last night.
Len, I'm going to defer before you go any further, I'm going to defer to the running backs on this because I've talked to Perkins and I've talked to Darkwa, both individually at length about this. And even Rashad Jennings would tell us this last year when we would talk to him about it.
And by the way, Len, Paul's right. I was there. They all tried to get away from him, but Paul grabbed him, and he said, no, you're talking to me.
And they have all said many times to me how much it makes a difference for them to run out of the eye, and they would much prefer having a fullback. And they do that for a living. I don't. And so I'm going to step out of their comfort zone, and if they're saying that it really makes a difference, especially on some of these plays where they're trying to pick that hole between the tackles, then I'm going to say that it would be worth it.
See, I think the better question, Len, really fast, and then I'll let you finish, is whether or not Shane Smith is significantly better at that role than Red Ellison, which is why from the start of this conversation back in March or April, whenever we signed Red Ellison, I thought that he would take the place of a fullback. And that's why, to a certain extent, I am still a little surprised that I think they're going to keep a traditional fullback, just because I don't think the role is going to be big. But I think Smith is a big enough contributor on special teams that you can justify the limited role he's going to play on offense.
I'll give you one other point, though. Wait a minute. Yeah. What if you start in Ellison? You know, we all assume that Ingram is going to see a lot of snaps, and he will. But he's not going to start every game and play every snap.
Well, you're right, and you might want to have a run-heavy package where you have Perkins, Smith, and Ellison on the field at the same time, and that's fair. And you might want to have that, especially in goal line and short yardage situations. And that's fair, too. No argument.
And that gives you the option of using Ellison as an inline blocker off your edge or Smith pounding it up the middle.
Yep, that's true.
Let me just say this, somewhat of a criticism of what you said, and then I want to very quickly move on to my 53. Just four or five guys on
real
the 53.
Fast, real fast. Now.
I think you guys are using he can play special teams too loosely. I don't want to say nobody, but Thomas Lewis is as good a special teams player as we've got on this team.
Who?
Thomas Lewis?
Go ahead.
You mean Roger Lewis?
The wide receiver.
Yeah, Roger Lewis, not Thomas Lewis.
I'm sorry.
Roger Lewis is not a great special teams player.
Yeah, there's a difference between playing special teams and being good on special
best,
teams.
Second he's, best gunner on the team, Paul.
I don't think it's even that close. No. I think Roger Lewis can play special teams, and I think he's a positive force on special teams. But I disagree.
By the way, believe it or not, Shane Smith only played 17 plays on offense last night, and he played 9 on special teams. So he was not on the field that much.
All right.
Compared to other games, that was the most.
He can play special teams.
And the reason why, Ben,
Len, you applied it to Rudolph as well.
The reason why, though, Len, is that we have heard this from Coach McAdoo ad infinitum during this training camp. He has pounded it into us, basically with a tattoo.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That special teams is critical for these guys. We have heard it so many times.
Literally, he has said to us verbatim that special teams will determine who the last guys are on at the fullback tight end position.
Has flat out told us that's the way it's going to be.
Yes, correct.
When Lewis makes the tackle opening night against Dallas on the opening kickoff, I'll remind you guys the next day.
Hey,
let me go on. Let me go on.
Remember, I'm a Roger Lewis guy.
I
remember that. He was my dark horse last year. I'm a Roger Lewis guy. I like Roger Lewis. Remember that.
Okay.
So I'm not dumping on this guy.
Yeah, I do too. All right, let me go. I think we keep three quarterbacks. Smith is the backup quarterback. I think Drones beats out Darkwa. And here's my thinking on that. If Vereen goes down, Drones is the better Vereen sub than Darkwa.
All right, I think that's a fair point. All right, what's your next point?
Who's your best power back?
Okay, I think Wheeler makes the team over Biz.
Okay.
Hopefully we can get Biz through to the practice squad. I think if you release Adams, guys, he's not on our practice squad. There are 20 teams are going to put in a claim for Jarrell Adams.
There are a lot of teams that don't have tight ends.
He's the second best blocking tight end on this team.
Okay, what's your next guy, Len?
Okay. I think Burhe makes it. I think Herslick sneaks in. I'm happy to say that my good friend and one of my favorite baseball players, shouldn't say good friend, favorite football players, favorite Giants players, Kerry Wynn makes this team. And I think Rojas has got the kicking spot. And
thank you, Len.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Let's go, Giants. Here we go. We're getting close, guys.
Absolutely. I can't wait next week to start talking about a regular season football game. Thank goodness. Wish it wasn't Dallas again, but we're talking about another regular season football game. All right, Jersey Chris. I'm guessing he's in New Jersey. Will be our final call of the show. What's up, Jersey Chris?
I always make fun of my Jersey Chris. John, I love you.
What's up, buddy?
I haven't spoken to you guys for a real long time.
That's right.
last conversation we had, I was putting my 53 together, and you know what? My numbers is about 98%.
Nice.
2.5 months. Okay? So I'm going to have a few players I want to refer to.
Sure.
Okay? I like Rosas, the kicker. That's a gimme for me. I thought the competition was great. I think Smith may make the team. I got five linebackers instead of six. I think Munson's going to make the team. Herzlitz going to go maybe to IR. Maybe Robinson may go to IR. Remember, we can bring two guys back during the season.
I think they'll want to try to save one of those spots, Jersey Chris, just in case.
Okay.
Yeah, right, remember, now, so, there's a six-week minimum.
And you also don't have to, by the way, assign guys to that spot.
Right.
You can just name them.
I mean, Look, concussions are indefinite, but do you really want to force yourself to miss at least 6 weeks of your best
cover? And by the way, if Keenan Robinson, you would like to have him covering Jason Witten week one.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't know how bad his injury is, but he's been hobbled. You know
and I just
mean?
Want to give you one small piece of information, and I'm not giving away anything. Keenan Robinson was on the trip. He was on the sideline, dressed in sweats.
And usually if a concussion is that bad, you don't want to. Well, remember, they didn't fly, though. They took the train. So it is a little bit different.
But he still was allowed to go.
That's true.
And I'd like to think that's a good sign for him.
Can't be a bad sign, I guess, right?
So we're all on the same page with that. And the kid Grant. You know the kid Grant?
Yeah.
I think he could go to practice squad. I think the kid, okay. I like the kid Grant. Now I want to go to the free safeties. Burhey. He's injury prone. This is the same argument I had with you last year about Mikel Thompson when I referenced Andrew Adams. Okay.
Yeah.
The kid is always injured. He missed some major tackles the other night.
That's fair.
Dinkins, in my opinion, is great on special teams. Foley, okay, and Nacho may practice squad. So I got Thompson, Adams, Collins, and I got Dinkins. My other one is. Again, Biswadi and Wheeler is going to be a toss-up.
I agree.
Now, Lacoste, I had him not making the team at first. He wasn't showing, and I've been a Lacoste fan from Illinois when Dallas wanted to pick him up, Paulie. Remember that? So you and I have been following Lacoste for a long time.
I know.
I think he showed himself last night what the kid's really made of. I hope he's really healthy. I got four tight ends, okay? And my last one is the wide receiver. I think King's going to go to IR, I think. I love Lewis. You guys know I'm an undrafted free agent guy. I was a wing. You know I am. I love the win. I love the quarrel. You know I am. Okay? Hunter is going to make the team, but this kid, I'm sorry, Powell didn't make the team, but it's Odell Marshall Shepard. Rudolph is a no-brainer. The guy was 121st rated player in the draft. I don't know what. No one drafted him because he had somewhat of a down year because of his father passing. But the kid's a talent. The kid is a real talent. Okay? And that's really all I got. And I got Manning, Smith, and Webb as our quarterbacks. And with that, guys, thank you for your time. And Paulie and John, give me your feedback on some of the things I said here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jersey Chris. I think he was on a lot about that stuff.
He's got logic behind everything that he said.
I'm not sure. I think
it's really off the wall.
I think Pinkins is a practice squad guy. Remember, he's trying to do a position switch. He's a young guy.
To me, that was the most out of bounds thing that he said.
Yeah,
everything else he had some something behind it.
Sure,
and we agreed with most of it anyway.
So. I don't think they IR Keenan Robinson.
Yeah, well, we already cut him off on that one early in this conversation. To me. You know, I just can't see losing him for a minimum 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm not sure King would get IR either, to be honest with you. So who knows? Again, Paul and I don't know the severity of these injuries, so maybe
we told you
it is that
serious.
Before. Who knows?
Yeah, medical is out of our hands.
Paul, fun as always, my friend.
Yeah.
And next week, Big Blue kickoff at noon. We will be here on Labor Day, by the way, on Monday. It'll be me and Jeff Fiegels. We'll have a special guest, Pro Football Focus. Sam Monson will join us to preview the NFL season. And
nice.
The Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to have a little giveaway with Sam, too. So make sure you tune into that show. You might get access to some Pro Football Focus stuff.
Nice,
so make sure
nice.
You tune in and check it out. And everybody, enjoy your weekend. Cut date tomorrow. Deadline is at 4 p.m. Of course, teams can do whatever they want before then as well. But that is when your roster has to be at 53.
Right.
But teams can let go of players of any time between now and then.
They can. And remember, Sunday at 1 o'clock, you can start signing your 10 practice squad players.
Correct. And then waivers go through and all that stuff, too. So, and like last year – just because the roster is what it is at, you know, Monday at midnight doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the roster on Friday at midnight. Things can change as guys become available.
Indeed.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed our training camp and preseason coverage. I know we did. And now we can finally talk about some real football. We can't wait. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your last NFL regular season free weekend until February. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Have a good one.